Burn Line Podcast. The burn line on a well-crafted cigar is straight and sharp as a razor, much like our wit and wisdom.
And what is up, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, over the age of 21, you are listening to Burn Line Podcast, coming to you not live from the hot box, the smoky back room where deals are struck and fortunes are made, adjacent to the Rocky Patel Cigar Lounge, nestled amongst the complex of rooms that comprise Debit Cigars, Westminster, Maryland, USA. The only Rocky Patel Cigar Lounge in the state of Maryland. I'm Johnny Midas.
And I am blind. No, I'm El Fumo.
And we smoke cigars.
Yes. That light is serious, though.
Shut up. You like the studio light.
I do.
You're amazing. You are amazing. Did a great job today at work, by the way.
Woo.
All right. So, we have something super special today, which is we are unboxing the Arturo Fuente Dreams to Dynasty package and smoking out of that package. Because of studio setup, we pre-filmed the unboxing.
Yeah.
So we're going to splice that in and show you guys this amazing Christmas present to myself, because I like to get myself Christmas presents. I'm never disappointed. So why don't we cut right into that, show you guys this. I mean, it's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And then we will come back, light up, cut, smoke.
Yeah.
And enjoy.
Ready?
All right, it is time for the official Arturo Fuente Dream to Dynasty unboxing. So you can't see El Fumo over there, but we are here unboxing this thing. And I've got the camera set up where you can see down on top, and this is pretty fucking cool. So if you've never opened a $2,000 box of cigars and swag, this is it. So here we go. I've got to set the audio down.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. All right, so dum-dum-dum-dum. This is what it looks like in the cardboard. And Jesus. Okay. Out of the box. And by the way, that outer box came with these corners on it inside a UPS box to protect it. So they really went to a lot of trouble to protect the investment. And then this is a
cardboard,
what I would call a coffin box. Opens up like this.
Oop.
It is displayable. So there we go. We will never rush the hands of time. And this is, in either direction, a fucking awesome poster.
Yes, it is.
So
I bet you that's what it was.
That's what it, well, it's so that you can display it in the store.
Ah, okay.
From Dream to Dynasty. And then underneath that is this soft foam Matt. There we go. Beautiful. And I did purchase this here at Davis Cigars in Westminster. And you have Collection 22. Here's the book. And this is a stiff semi-gloss cardstock. And it has the story, full color pictures. This is awesome.
Yeah. More, I think, more than the story that we unboxed earlier this year.
Yes, the story last year.
was it
awesome.
Year?
It was right after Christmas.
Damn, almost a year already.
I think it's been a year. So this is even more in depth, and wow, they're beautiful. Full color pictures, love it. And then why 22? Numbers and numerology play a curious and enduring role in Fuente family lore. Notably, two numbers recur, lucky number 13 and 22. Both appear repeatedly in the Arturo Fuente lexicon and iconography. 22 is especially noteworthy. In numerology, 22 is considered a master number, also called a master builder or master architect number. Angel knows what we're talking about.
Hey.
It is said by numerologists that 22 holds so much power that it can turn big dreams into reality if worked upon sincerely. Which brings us to what you hold in your hands. The dream realized. So super cool. If you know, you know. Hashtag. Okay, so volume 1, the book, and volume 2. So, volume one is actually cigars, and I'm fucking salivating. So, you'll notice you've got some very rare Opus X's. That guy.
What is that?
Exactly.
That's funky.
Yes.
A little hairball.
Casafuente, the Don Carlos, that's the Shark Vitola, the Queen Bee. Absolutely delicious Fuente selection, and some rare guys in there too. Oh shit. Let me get that guy out. This is the Gran Aniversario. I can't remember when this came out, but this is an Opus X anniversary cigar. So that's volume one.
What's that real quick? Is that a humidity pack?
This is a humidity pack. Okay. Like all the
Fuentes. I wasn't sure if it was a letter or not.
And it's in with the cigars.
Yeah.
So I didn't have to worry about anything with this box. And you can feel it's still humidified.
Yeah.
Right?
So that's cool. They made it look like a letter, but it's actually a humidity pack.
Have you never bought Fuente cigar
before? No, not like a box.
A box?
No.
Okay, these actually come in all their boxes.
Okay.
Which is cool. So that's volume one. This is volume two. And of course, a magnetized box that just makes an amazing humidor.
Yep.
Look at this. Opus Dude. X Lost City, Angel's Envy, the Siglo, the 13, the 20 years. This is fucking epic. This is the 25.
It's the Ultimate Arturo Collectors.
Oh, what do we have right here?
Hey.
The God of Fire Aniversario 2019.
There you go.
Bada bing, bada boom. In Ashton Estate Sun Grown. So, you know, they make the Ashton tobacco. And the Diamond Crown. Little known fact is that Fuente makes the tobacco for Diamond Crown.
Well, if you listen to
Birdline. If you look at Birdline,
you would have known that.
Right? So these are amazing, and we're both going to pick one and smoke it.
Okay, shit.
With an asterisk, because...
Yeah, I was going to say, definitely, I know the God of Fire is going to you.
There's something
I wouldn't have picked it. Yeah.
There's something you can't pick. Yeah. This is the book. Now, I'm just taking the plastic wrap off, but this is an old school cloth cover. It has stamped metal foil up here, screen printed, and also textured. It's stamped in. Absolutely gorgeous. And look at how it's bound. This is the highest quality book you can make.
Yeah.
Like the way they construct
it. They spared no expense.
And we're just going to flip through some pages. I don't want to give everything away, but there's probably not a really great chance that our listeners are going to go out and spend anywhere from $1,800 to $2,500 on one of these, if they're still available. But I love this is a map of Hispaniola. Now, if you don't know, the Dominican Republic is half an island, and that island was known as Hispaniola.
Yeah.
If you read like Treasure Island or something, it's actually that island.
Yeah.
And they talk about Hispaniola. And there's the Arturo Fuente markers. Table of contents, generations, farms, factories, the Charitable Foundation, historic important cigars, collaborations, and the world of Fuente. So I'm just going to flip through here. You can, by the way, feel the pages. Super thick, high quality.
Yeah. What's that? I'm sure you would know that. Photo quality paper?
I don't. It's like 24 bond or something.
Yeah.
But you can see there's some full color pictures in there. Look at that. That's
Peacock.
The Chateau Fuente, the classic curing barns. Mm-hmm. So just absolutely beautiful, beautiful book.
Dude,
there's
cool.
Some text in here too, but there's a lot of pictures, which, you know, like, it's a cigar book. That's what I want. You know, enough text. It's like Playboy. I want good articles, but I'm really looking for the pictures.
Right.
You know? Absolutely.
I was gonna say,
like, so if they sold this book by itself, I would probably pay up to $200.
I was gonna say that's a $200 book.
Yeah.
I wonder.
Depending on the rarity, I might pay more than that, but it's a $200.
What's it?
Printed in Italy by Grafisch Milani.
God damn.
fucking amazing. All right, so that is the unboxing. And while we have the camera set up this way for everybody to lust over the cigars, let's go ahead and pick our cigars. So, Angel, you may go first.
Ooh, this is a rare pink.
Rare pink?
Yep.
Good choice. And I think, damn, look at this guy. This is so rare. That is the Hemingway Between the Lines. So this is a super stubby barber pole Hemingway.
Mm-hmm.
Hard to find.
Yeah, that's
super rare.
I like it.
I'm not going to smoke it because it's too short for the show.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to go with the Ashton Virgin Sungrown PSG. I've not had one of these in years, actually.
Yeah, I've had that maybe a year and a half ago.
I had the ESG, which I love the ESG. Mm-hmm. But I have not had the VSG. I mean, it's been years, actually. So I'm going to go ahead and smoke this. Ironic, since it's in a Fuente pack. But what, I mean, this is just beautiful.
It really is.
Soak it in, everybody. Merry Christmas. And let's set the cameras back up so we can...
Yep.
Yeah.
We're back.
All right. It is time for the official cutting. So, of course, you guys just saw I am smoking the Ashton Virgin Sun Grown. You know what? This is fucking Instagrammable, dude.
Yeah.
This is a good-looking cigar.
It is.
And you are smoking the Rare Pink.
Pink. First time.
Here, let me get your face.
Yeah.
I got a cigar, too. There we go. Very nice. I'm going to fucking post that while we're...
It's, I got a virgin palette.
Virgin palette. Yeah. I knew a virgin in high school. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right. It is time for the official cutting. I'm cutting with my Seekar... single blade.
Not Zycar, Z-car.
C-car.
C-car.
Design. This is an open-ended single guillotine, and it's just cool.
Yeah. I got the Craftsman's Bench
double guillotine.
Real quick, guillotine or guillotine?
Guillotine.
Okay. Dude, I know so many people that go guillotine. I'm like, stop it.
I think it's okay if you're in America.
I like guillotine. It sounds better.
Guillotine's how it's actually pronounced, but...
Yeah.
I mean, it's a French word, but...
I mean, we have a lot of French words that we use.
I mean, we also say things like, you know, whatever, ménage à trois. Like, that's not exactly how the French pronounce it.
No.
You know, so.
You'd probably laugh at us. Anyway.
Not that I know what that word means. All right, it is time for the official cutting.
The official cutting is brought to you by Lord Baltimore Distributors. Featuring proprietary blends available nowhere else, Lord Baltimore Distributors are meticulously crafted boutique cigars made in small batches for every palate. Lord Baltimore Distributors, when only the best will do.
And as always, we remind you to clip that cigar with authority. No limp-wristed cutting allowed. Do the
so,
old,
real quick.
Tap.
I see.
That's what I was talking about.
Yeah, that's I was about to. Yeah.
Now, look at the center of mine. Fucking perfect.
See, it's more pronounced on this because of the Vitola.
Mm-hmm.
Normally on the Parejo.
The thinner.
Yeah.
The more pronounced it is. Yep. Although, the challenge with the single blade guillotine is if you have a tapered head.
So kind of like, yeah.
Like a torpedo.
Yeah.
Right? Calicoso, you know, whatever. Any figurado with a tapered head.
Mm-hmm.
The cigar tries to go like that.
Yep.
And you end up with an angled cut, which isn't bad. Sometimes you do that on purpose anyway.
Yeah.
But you have to be aware of what's happening.
Yeah, you have to add a little bit more pressure since you got one blade instead of two.
I don't know about the extra pressure. I don't really notice that. But I do notice that if it's tapered and you try to hold it straight, it'll just tear down here.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to cut it at an angle, and it's physics, right?
Yeah.
All right. It is time to light these cigars. I will be lighting up with my ST DuPont double flame, flat flame lighter, and you have your
Vertigo Cyclone.
Vertigo Cyclone, great, great reliable lighter.
Old Faithful.
I've got one in my truck that has been in there for 3 years.
Old Faithful.
Mm-hmm.
The official lighting is brought to you by 2C Premium Coffee. Keep your day fueled with delicious coffee from 2C Premium Coffee. featuring select beans from Bali, Kenya, Ethiopia, and around the world. 2C Premium utilizes continual roasting, so you are always getting a truly fresh cup of premium coffee. 2C Premium Coffee, morning made us. And as always, we remind you, toasted, not roasted. Treat that cigar with the love and respect it deserves, and it will return flavor. That is what we are all about. Now, some of you are wondering why I'm smoking an ESG and not one of the other amazing cigars in that collection. And the honest answer to that is, most of those I have smoked. The ones that I haven't, I'm not smoking on the show.
Mm-hmm.
It is too sacred of an opportunity. And I will have my notebook and be a fucking nerd. So I have the Rare Pink. I also have the Rare Pink Sophisticated Hooker, which is a different Vitola.
I like this. That's a cool name.
Yes.
She's a sophisticated hooker.
Well, you know, there was some scuttlebutt. I don't know, you know, if it's real, but that Rare Pink was a slightly dirty name.
Really?
As in it references...
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, okay.
So, I don't know if that's true. I don't care if it's true. But adding sophisticated hooker to the end of it is like, yeah, that's definitely a Rare Pink right there, you know?
That's funny.
We are... just getting started on these, I'll be interested in your tasting notes there.
Okay.
One of the things that I love about Fuentes cigars is that while they take you on a journey of flavor, you can tell they come from the same company.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's sort of like up until the Puro Sangue, you could tell a Ferrari was a Ferrari. Right? Mm-hmm. They're... is a lot of difference between like a Testarossa and an F50. But you can tell, you know, and it's really similar with Fuente cigars where there's different flavors and different price points and all of that. But you can tell the tobacco, you know.
I would say they're more Lamborghini.
Now, I don't agree with you, and here's why. In the car world, Lambo is the... loud douchebag. It's like...
No, I'm talking about knowing that it's the same company. Like the cars. Because
I know, but I didn't go with Lamborghini on purpose.
Okay.
Lamborghinis are for the people that would buy a Dodge Charger and then, you know, got a lot of money.
Mm.
So they're not associated with sophistication and class. But Fuente is. And that's why I went with Ferrari.
Okay.
I guess you could say, like, Maserati. You know, those are fairly recognizable.
Yeah.
You know, it just... Maz is not at the same level. Although the new MC20 is fucking balls out awesome.
Oh, by the way, rip to Jaguar. Since we're talking about cars, exotic cars.
I think the funniest thing about the whole issue is that the concept cars are so fucking lame. I mean, they're like... Dude, people were putting these kinds of concepts out in 2002. So you went with some like woke advertising thing that died 40 years ago. Be bold, don't copy anyone else, except you're literally copying everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And then you come out with this grand vision at an art show, grand vision concept, and it's like, it's fucking ugly. And it's dated. It looks like a 2002 car. You're like, you guys are, you're lost. Like, you don't have any talent at all. You should fucking fire your marketing agency, but your design team?
Yeah.
I mean, this is Jaguar. They invented the E-Type, for fuck's sake, and the XJ. You know, probably the sexiest saloon car ever, if you could put up with the V12 that had V12 problems. You know? 12 times the problems.
What, 5 miles a gallon?
It's like we put a V12 in our car. It's like a V8, but 50% more problems. You know?
Yeah, 50%.
But it's badass.
Yeah,
it's a V12. When it's running, it's fucking baddest saloon car ever. I mean, I'll put that up against any Mercedes four-door from any period in history. I think the, like, 90s XJ Jaguar was... one of the best looking saloon cars. And of course, there's a lot of people that think the E-Type was the sexiest car ever. It's so, they're so bad that a rusted Hulk without a motor body, I mean rusted out body with no motor, is selling for $10,000 to $15,000.
It's crazy.
And you got to put $20,000 worth of labor into it just to get rid of the rust and rehammer the, you know, fresh body panels and stuff.
It's not even worth that in its weight for scrap.
Mm-mm. But fully restored, they're worth a pretty penny. All right, so we're a little bit in. I don't have any realistic tasting notes right now. I need to stop talking and concentrate on it.
I got to chop
it's a little stronger.
Just the hair off of this.
It's a little stronger than I remember.
It's not too bad. The draw's a little tight at the moment. There you go. Open her up.
Well, remember that Fuentes had naturally have a tighter draw,
mm-hmm.
which is one reason I like them. You know I like a... Like, you have to tell the cigar to smoke.
There we go.
I like that.
That's better.
So it's always better to start off, you know, don't clip too much mm-hmm. and clip more off. And we're going to enjoy some bourbon. So, fellas out there in YouTube, thank you for joining us. We are drinking the Weller Antique 107. Shout out to Deneen for getting me this. Found it for $80.
What's that?
MSRP. Here, hold that cup up so I don't splash it over.
Oh, no.
What, do you only have one hand?
Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Quite welcome.
Appreciate it.
So, you know, we may get drunk on this show. So, apologies ahead of time. But it's our show, so fuck you.
We're not sorry.
All right. Why is it called 107?
It's the 107th bottle, that's why.
Oh, it's 107 proof. Keep your mouth open while you nose it so you don't singe your...
Yeah.
Wow, that's good.
By the way, that was some good education from Murphy.
Oh, yeah. We're going to coat our palate first. That's the swallow where your mouth says, whoa.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next one is where you can really taste it.
Yeah.
But first, wait till it stops burning. Mm. So this is super smooth. I'm not a big triple digit proof guy.
Yeah.
You know, cask strength and stuff, I water it down. I like 80 proof, up to 90, once you get into triple digits. You know, I'm trying to taste a cigar, too. I very rarely drink bourbon on its own. So that's a little beef I have with the industry, is it doesn't have to be so strong, guys, you know? And hell, you could make more of it if you just threw some branch water in
it. Yeah, I just want to taste the bourbon, damn it.
Yeah, yeah. All right, and now for the tasting sip. Salud. Hey, Skol, Schlancha, Senpai. How do you say it in German?
I don't know. Wait, edit that out. Oh, hi. Yeah, I was saying hi too. No, now we're good. Yeah, I can calm down. Oh, that's cool as shit.
That is cool. I don't know what you're tasting.
Okay, so want to know what my flavor blast is? Citrus and fruit. Just like, like everything, but mostly citrus.
This is so fucking weird. So believe it or not, when I take the bourbon first, and it's a weeded bourbon, so it's sweeter than a rye. Mm-hmm. That's sharp. You know, it's got some caramel, some citrus, some vanilla. Mm-hmm. But when I coat that on my tongue and then smoke the cigar.
Mm-hmm. And it finishes right here.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, that was so... Like I said, that education that last week was pretty awesome. I was like, whoa.
So what it's bringing out in this Ash and Virgin Sungrown is actually briarwood and blackberry.
Nice.
Yeah. Really interesting the way the... flavors like interact on my palate.
I'm getting so much fruit. It's weird.
Yeah, it's funny because before you smoke the cigar, this is not a fruity bourbon. But as soon as you throw the cigar smoke in there, like all these fruit flavors come out.
And then you know what else that it reminds me of? Those tardy grapes from your backyard, from the from the
Johnny Midas winery,
the vineyard.
Yes,
Johnny Midas does have a vineyard.
I'm thinking about putting an expansion back there.
Like, but spending out the house?
I might have to get rid of the grapes.
Don't do that.
I know. It's horrible. Yeah, like where the kitchen is. Dude, if I stretched that out 20 feet, I would just... The kitchen would become part of the bathroom. And I would put a kitchen dining area.
Hmm. Just go 10.
I should just sell the house and buy a new one. But
or do that.
It's within walking distance to the schools. And technically Walmart if you want to take your life into your hands crossing that road.
Yeah.
So this says, unusual floral notes and hints of vanilla on the bottle. I think that's fair. Definitely has,
okay,
you know, way more floral than you're used to in a bourbon.
Yeah.
And vanilla. There's some caramel in there.
Where's this made?
It's a little citrus, a little spice. Where's Weller made?
Yeah.
Buffalo Trace.
Okay.
Which, I don't know, is it the Buffalo Trace Distillery?
That's what I'm saying.
It just says distilled agent bottled by Buffalo Trace Distillery.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Opposed to Maker's Mark is Star Hill Farms, mm-hmm, is the actual name of the distillery.
Yeah.
Is Star Hill Farms. Maker's Mark is the bourbon brand. Weller is the brand. It is made at Buffalo Trace Distillery, but Buffalo Trace Distillery makes Buffalo Trace. Mm-hmm. So,
and Sazerac, like, whatever it's called.
Yes, they make Sazerac. And shit, what's the other one? Eagle Rare.
Eagle Rare, yep. Yeah.
Which Eagle Rare 10-year always has a spot in my cabinet. I always have a bottle of that. Wow, this is so enjoyable. So, for all of you guys out there, you know, this is not one of our traditional episodes where we are, like, you know, enjoying one cigar and sharing it with you. You know, we sampled out of a pack, and we're just enjoying ourselves for Christmas. And, of course, Merry Christmas to you and your families as well. Yeah. Great cigar, great bourbon, great company. This is what it's all about, dude.
Dude, it tastes like bacon, too, like when I held it in there.
Really?
Yes, with the bourbon.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to smoke one of these and drink that at the same time and just hold it in.
Yeah, I like this Virgin Sun. I forgot. It might be more than 3 years. It's been a long time since I smoked a VSG. Now, the other place had ESGs, so mm-hmm, I smoked a couple of those.
Yeah.
Which I love, by the way. But I don't know what the difference is. You know, I do like Ashton cigar. I hate the fucking, what is it, the white label? Mm-hmm. Or Connecticut? It's trash.
Yeah.
But most of the Ashton cigars are pretty good.
Yeah, they're pretty good. Did you have the house cigar, the premium? Mm. Remember they were in that big box? It was Ashton, but didn't say Ashton on there. They're like $5 a stick for like a 4x50.
I don't think I did. I don't think so. Because I think it was Nick and I were talking, and Nick was saying, that's an Ashton. And I was going to get one, and I didn't. I can't remember why. So I don't think I ever tried
it. You probably thought it was a cheap thing or something.
No, because he was saying, like, this is actually an Ashton. If I did, I don't remember smoking it. But okay, so on your band, see the secondary band?
Mm-hmm.
Rare pink. Now, rotate it to your right.
Okay.
What initials do you see?
CF.
Yeah. Yeah. Carlito Fuente.
Okay. Yes, sir.
As opposed to Arturo Fuente.
And then you got LF.
Yep. And that is?
Oh, my God. Brain fart. Help me out here.
Who is LF? Who is L Fuente? I don't know.
Yeah. Lito.
I think it is.
No. Whoops. Sorry, we're getting our cigar people mixed up. Don't kill us.
Oh, that is the current manager of the Spain national football team. Okay. Google, you suck. Liana Fuente.
His wife, I'm guessing.
Liana Fuente is a fourth-generation member of the Fuente family who contributes to the success of the Arturo Fuente cigar brand. The Fuente family has been crafting cigars in the Dominican Republic for generations. The brand's cigars are known for their quality and flavor and have consistently ranked highly in publications like Cigar Aficionado, Cigar Journal, and Cigar Insider. Here's some information about the history of the blah, 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 blah. Interestingly, the brand's most iconic cigars include the Opus X, the Añejo, and the Hemingway,
mm-hmm,
which, you know, I think I mentioned it on the show a couple of times. To me, like, my default cigar is the Hemingway. To me, that's like, you know, the cigar. All other cigars are judged by. So, Liana Fuente and Carlito Fuente?
Okay.
Which Carlito is third gen, right?
Yeah.
And so
Carlos Liana, is his dad.
Maybe Liana is his daughter or niece?
Something.
Delicious. Absolutely delicious. The bourbon is good, too. So,
it's wild. Carlito looks just like his granddad.
Oh yeah,
dude,
you can tell that.
Yeah, really, like fuck, like,
totally. Love the mustache, man. That's fucking. I want to do that. Like, I want to do that mustache. I had it for a while. I had it for just a little bit, like 2 weeks.
Yeah, Carlito has the stash, man.
He's got the fucking stash down. The problem is, I look too much like, you know, somebody that lives in the trailer park and less kids when I have that mustache. So, I had to get rid of it.
Oh, man.
The molestache. We have our cigars lit up, and we're enjoying this bourbon, and it's boring, so let's talk a little bullshit.
Yep.
We do that on this show. So
just a little bit.
Yeah, let's talk about drones. Let's start there.
Oh, fucking shit, Eastern here Seaboard we go. Bullshit.
Yeah. Tell me what's going on.
It's aliens. No, so far, what they're saying is just like regular, I guess, four-rotor, maybe six-rotor drones.
But we've had drones over military bases.
Newark Airport.
Yeah.
So they've become an issue. I think mostly the safety is the biggest concern, like at the official level. But like everybody's just freaking out because they're like, what is it? It's definitely not aliens because they're man-made. They're like Earth-made.
Well, people craft. Can hear them.
Yeah.
Which is a big difference. Like one of the signatures of UAPs is they don't make noise.
Right.
These, you can hear the rotors.
And they have the marker lights, red, green, for
yeah,
port.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's FAA required.
Yeah, so it's like, okay, so it's definitely not like Chinese or Iranian, because why would they go through the trouble of putting markers?
They did arrest two guys on Long Beach, mm-hmm. New Jersey, not Long Beach, Long Beach, New Jersey, for illegal drone operation.
Yeah, but it probably wasn't even related to that.
So, well, all I'm saying is, like, there are drones where they're not supposed to be, and people do get in trouble for it. You know, and this is a case of that. The FBI said that a lot of these are just regular aircraft, you know, that
people are
misidentified. Because they're looking up now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a light in the sky, oh my God!
Especially if you look, and it's funny because a lot of them are coming from near Newark Airport. It's like, yes, you're going to be seeing hovering airplane or hovering lights. It's like,
well, if you've ever seen a heavy, like a 747.
Yeah, man, they're
in
slow.
In descent. Dude, first of all, yeah, they're moving at 200 miles an hour, something like that.
Yeah, a little bit less.
Yeah, and that looks like it's fucking hovering from far away, and it's just slowly dropping. Mm-hmm. It looks like this.
Yeah, perception.
It's coming down. Yeah, it's perception.
Like something massive moving at that speed, that's slow.
But another interesting thing the FBI said was some of these drones are over military bases legally because the restricted airspace has a ceiling cap.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're over whatever 20,000 feet, I don't know what it is, you can fly over it.
Except Area 51, it has it as far as you can
go. Area 51 is kind of like you can do whatever you want, just don't bitch when you get shot, you know, or shot down.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's the only airspace in the whole entire country where it's like, you can't go over. And I believe the White House.
I'm not sure, but you know, I don't think the rules apply to Groom Lake facility and some other facilities. Yeah. Because I think they're just like, nope. In fact, I saw a video of these guys. They're on the public road outside Groom Lake filming, and these guys come up and they're like, nope, put the camera away, you can't do that. And they're like, it's completely legal. And he's like, it might be legal, but you ain't doing it.
Yeah.
And they got, you know, because they were streaming it live on Facebook, and they're like, by the way, we're streaming live. And he just starts moving towards them, and they shut the cameras off.
That's funny.
But he wasn't fucking playing around.
Yeah.
Unmarked car. He's dressed kind of like a sheriff. No insignia or anything. It's private security.
You know what? I tried my luck for that payout, though.
I don't know. I don't think they have anything.
Yeah.
I don't. I think it's all a fucking game. It's a shell game. Yeah. Like, I think the real shit is somewhere else.
Yeah.
And it literally has turned into, let's get all of the fucking spies interested in this place because there's nothing really here.
You know where it's at? In some fucking trailer park in Arkansas.
I'm sure it is. Yeah. You're like in the Lake District or something in Missouri, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there's just like some hills and woods and a couple trailers and then like a fucking stealth plane with gravity bending technology.
Yeah, because like, what the fuck does a hillbilly hear what's in the air? They're like, whatever.
I don't know, but you remember that? Let's storm Area 51. They can't stop us all.
That was funny.
Like, first of all, whoever that troll was, hats off.
Yes, that was great.
That was the best troll ever.
It turned into a music festival, though, which is pretty cool.
Well, but then the government is like, don't do it. We'll shoot you.
Yeah, they literally, you know? In a nonchalant way, they were
like we'll shoot you.
They just said, we're authorized lethal force, by the way. Just letting you know.
By the way, you know?
We have warthogs. It literally would take one warthog to get rid of the whole line. Yeah, I'm good. I don't want to try that. But you know what's funny? So like,
actually, we can stop all of them.
Yeah. So in Independence Day, the movie Independence Day, the government actually told them, hey, you can't talk about this in the film, but they went ahead anyway. And then it wasn't until the Obama administration, look at how long this base has been around since probably the World War II, maybe. Mm-hmm. And then it wasn't officially recognized until the Obama administration, when they had to, quote unquote, buy more property to extend the restricted zone.
It officially doesn't exist. I can see it. By the way, we live in a world where I can rent a satellite and take pictures of it.
It's not ours. It's funny. They're like, it's not ours. It's not a thing. But it literally says U.S. Air Force on the gate.
Yeah. Property of U.S. government. You know.
But you're saying it's not ours. Yeah. So why can I go in? It's not ours, but you can't go in. What?
But it's just it's a different world.
It's funny.
Now that we have the internet, right. It is a different world. Mm-hmm. And I feel bad for, like, these Cold War spies that spent years developing assets and stuff. That's still the only way to get real info. Do you know what, like, if you go work for whatever.
Oh, and Reddit.
Yeah, if you go to work for the CIA as an analyst, mm-hmm. which, I have a friend who's a CIA analyst. He's like, it is 99% social media mining. And they're building, like, yeah. I went to MIT, I'm building an algorithm that mines social media. And I'm like, oh my God. First of all, do you know how much, just, it's all bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it might not all be bullshit, but it's only a matter of time before the terrorists figure out that nobody else in the world actually posts the truth.
Yeah.
On social media. Like, even the drug dealers in China, they're like, how would you like to buy this cactus for $25,000? Yeah. Like, even they know better than, nobody's just posting the crack cocaine on the website. Like, come buy this for $25,000.
Yeah. I know. Well, I may or may not know a supervisor that was like, yeah, Signal, we literally have a button and we're in. It's mm-hmm. like, yeah, I don't understand. It's like, no, Signal's not what it's touted to be.
Yeah, it's not secure.
Not
at all.
I mean, when, what's his face? Tucker Carlson said, yeah, they hacked my Signal. They didn't hack it. They literally just hit a button to enter.
Yeah. Although they have to start over again every time you turn your phone off mm-hmm. and then back on. So,
which is still not hard.
No. You just have to hit the button again.
Yeah.
But the point is, if you want to stay off the grid, get rid of your cell phone.
Yeah, that's literally it.
Which you should not do, because it's a great place to watch Burn Line Podcast.
Yes.
Now streaming video on Spotify as well as YouTube's. Oh, you know what? I should do some social shout-outs. I know this is our Christmas episode.
Oh, that's fine. We're doing whatever we want. It's our show. Oh, by the way, you know how you always have grapes with Fuente about their bands? Check this out.
Yes, I have... Motherfucker. Of course, you get
this was a troll.
One,
this was a troll. They're like, they're like, we know he's going to buy this box.
Number 501.
So, is it, okay, so there's Arturo Fuente and Carlos. I guess that's it. That's on the band. That's probably, mm-hmm. yeah. But by the way, why is that R backwards on here? Did you notice that?
On the rare pink?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it has significance or not. Hmm. I do know that Carlito's a traveling man.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that. Now I know.
You couldn't tell from all the numerology?
Yeah, now I know.
Yeah.
Here, ready for the bigger troll? Check that out.
Oh, my God. Both of them off perfectly. That doesn't even look like glue.
They trolled your ass this time. Let me see. That's fruit pectin.
That is fruit pectin.
Yeah.
There's not a drop of glue on that.
They trolled your ass on
this. Motherfuckers.
How many rare pinks have you smoked where you struggled?
Actually, I didn't. I like rare pink.
Okay.
So,
but most of your other Arturo Fuentes,
the core line, they're all glued.
Fix it.
They're all glued to the rack.
Well, I mean, for $2,000, it better come off easily, right?
Yeah, right. Like the Chateau Fuente Robusto Natural, that's my go-to daily.
Mm-hmm.
Always glued to the wrapper every fucking time. And then my Hemingways, it's about 75% of the time.
Yeah.
To be fair, it doesn't. I can't remember it ruining the smoking experience, but mm-hmm. just seeing that little fucking 2-millimeter flake come off, I'm like, ah.
Yeah, man. I mean,
it's like chipping the paint on your Mercedes.
Or your Ferrari.
Like,
that's not
anything. Yeah. But come on, dude.
Yeah.
All right. Socials and surprises. We had the big surprise.
Yeah, that already happened.
Yeah. But as far as socials go, you are our marketing plan. Please like, subscribe, share, get the word out, comment, whatever you can do. If you think we add value to the cigar community, we are asking for your help. And we need it because of just,
reasons.
how the social media companies work. They don't like our hobby. And you can reach out to us in the comments on all the platforms. If you scroll down, there is a link tree, and you can click contact us. What that takes you to is burnlinepodcast@gmail.com. You can also just compose an email right there. You can say, hey, Siri, compose an email to burnlinepodcast@gmail.com. Drop us a line. We want this to be your show. We get some great interaction. We get some that are obviously they were drunk and a few that should have been drunk. Interact with the show. We want it to be your show.
Yeah.
You know, we should do some kind of like Discord or something live.
That would be cool. Doing the show. Yeah, chat with people. Yeah.
And maybe, you know, maybe we'll start broadcasting live on Insta.
That'd be cool.
You know, we can do that. I'm going to give it a shot. Yeah. Shout out to Kunalk9 and Matt Goodman joining the tribe on YouTube.
Hey.
You guys are the people. Definitely don't know about Kunalk9. I'm assuming that Matt is a dude.
Hey, right, you can't. So, hey. That's discrimination these days.
I'm discriminating a little bit. So, all right. Let's give this a title. I'm trying this out. I'm doing live.
Instagram? Okay.
Insta, yeah.
Oh, by the way, there was a FBI raid like a minute from my house earlier today.
Really?
So that's pretty interesting. So,
Is it related to the shooting last week?
No, none related. So we should start like a poll or whatever. Not even a poll, just like, what do you think it was? Drugs or terrorism?
Oh, yeah, I don't know. It's hard to imagine that it's anything realistic.
We are
live on Instagram, so this is our first episode that we're streaming live. Let's see how it goes.
So not live on the podcast, but live on Insta. Let's go.
Yeah. Maybe we should make this a thing. Huh. I don't know. This is the Christmas episode, and so tune in. This should air this weekend. Usually it's Sunday. What we just did was we unboxed the Fuente Dreams to Dynasty fucking amazing cigar collection. And we both picked a cigar to smoke. So I am smoking the Ashton Virgin Sungrown Toro, I guess, and El Fumo.
Yeah, I just picked up that. The rare pink.
The rare pink.
Yep.
So, awesome.
I like that. It looks crisp as shit.
Yeah, it's not bad looking. I mean, I would have to like... I don't know, put it...
Oh, now you made it annoying for people watching.
Yeah, totally.
All right.
Yeah, we'll just leave it like this. Yeah. And I guess, you know, I'm better looking, so I'll just aim the camera at me and, you know... Oh, shit, there's actually people watching. Sorry about that, you're gorgeous, El Fumo.
Oh, my God. How many do we got?
17,452.
Wow. Thanks, guys.
And we are drinking the Weller Antique 107... And for me, it's a really interesting pairing. I don't think it's the first pairing I would choose. The VSG, I think, would pair better with rum or, believe it or not, Guinness draft.
Didn't you pair this with something the other day that didn't work? You had like a good pairing the other week.
I did. I had a bad pairing, but that was the Lagavulin 16.
Okay.
Because, you know, it's an Islay Scotch.
So, that's what it was.
Yeah, super, like, strong and stuff.
Yeah.
Has that iodine and salt spray. So, but you're smoking the Rare Pink, which is I think would go really good with this.
It does, dude. It's fruity. And, like I said, I'm getting, like, this weird, like, bacon flavor.
Bacon is good. We like bacon. All right, so this time of year, you know, it's Christmas, and Mickey has something interesting in the huddle today. He said, what's your favorite part of Christmas?
Oh, nice.
And actually, I was kind of like stuck for a minute there, you know? So I'm like, well, I like it. I don't know why.
Yeah.
And the honest answer is it's a little magical.
Yeah, it's my favorite holiday.
Yeah.
It's not even the gifting part. It's just... great holiday.
There's family, there's food, there's gifts, there's celebration. It's also like a little respite and, you know, like right before all the cold weather comes. Mm-hmm. But it's just, it feels magical.
And it gets a lot of hate, too.
Does it?
Yeah. Like, we had previous persons.
How dare you say Merry Christmas? Yeah, whatever bullshit.
Or like, oh, I hate it because of family. I'm like, okay, that's your experience. That's not mine. Sorry that you hate it.
Well, you know, suicides go up pretty significantly.
Yeah, it is true. I mean, it is a sad part, but it's like...
Like, some people really have a hard time. I think they feel left out and alone. So, if that is you...
We're here for you.
We're here for you. Merry Christmas. Thank you for joining us.
Dude, I know a lot of people that open their doors to strangers this time of year. I mean, it should be an all-year thing, but hey, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. But one thing that I do enjoy is finding that one gift. So, my brother Joe, G.I. Joe.
G.I. Joe, that's funny.
He's 82nd Airborne. And Mattingly, J. Mattingly, 1845, makes an 82nd Airborne bourbon.
Did you get it?
I did. He just got it yesterday.
Okay, I was going to say, wait, are you spoiling like, the gift?
Yeah, no, he is like, this is fucking awesome. So they have a pretty good bourbon.
You should post a picture of it later.
Oh, I don't even know if I got a picture.
Damn, ask him to take a picture.
Yeah. But yeah, I should post that. I can find one online, I'm sure. But the point is, like, I found a bourbon branded, like, for his fucking division, which, you know, it's famous, so... I think they make a 101 and an 82nd, and that's it, you know.
They might have done something like over 80 years ago.
He was a drill instructor.
Nice.
In the 101st.
Yeah.
For a while, but you get burnt out.
Didn't he jump at this year's Normandy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's something cool. They do an annual jump at Normandy.
And this one was special because it was a certain anniversary.
Yeah.
It wasn't an odd number. It was like an even number anniversary.
Yeah.
So...
I think it was 80 years now, right?
I think it was 80. Yeah, because wasn't it 44? So that would be 80 years.
Yeah.
I think it was the 80th. It was kind of a big deal. He gave me some pictures there.
Yeah, nice.
So that was cool. Yeah. He's a fucking stud. My daughter was like, and she's 11. She's like, what do you do for a living? He's like, I kill bad guys. And she's like, what? He's like, well, it's kind of more boring than that. So she was a little shook up. I'm like, yes, we pay people to kill bad guys so you can sleep. In your bed, you know, unmolested. So it was pretty cool. So last week, man, fucking awards. By the way, I still haven't got the physical awards yet.
All right, I can't wait till they go out, though.
Yeah, I'm gonna post them on Insta. I'm gonna take pictures and post them when they show up.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, they're custom made and all that, and you know, stuff happens, and there was some issues with the artwork and whatever, but you know, it'll be fine. But I'm excited about that, and I'm really excited, you know. So the cigar figure is cool as shit. And I love how J.C. Newman is, like, you know, committed to keeping cigars in America.
Yeah.
Like, the production process with El Rollo and all of that. The American, which we smoked on the show.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also excited about the other winners. So we had...
Brand of the Year.
Yeah, the Brand of the Year was the West Tampa Tobacco Red. Mm-hmm. And fucking... West Tampa Tobacco is nailing it, dude. Are you following them, like, on Instagram?
Yeah, man.
Like, so they've got...
Well, on Facebook, but yeah.
Yeah. Like, they're posting videos of actual rolling, you know, they're talking about... So it just... It feels like they're really connecting the consumer to the product. You know, you feel involved.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like I mentioned last week, I love the branding. Because it's right. Like, how many times have we got on the show and we're like... Okay, Roma Craft, Maestranza is already hard enough to pronounce, and now you're telling me to pronounce Catalonia, you know, just call it a fucking short Corona,
yeah,
you know, or whatever. So we're always complaining about the weird Vitola names, and, you know, I'm Anglo, I can't pronounce it, you don't count, you get a pass. And so they're like, no, we have white, we have black, now we have red, you know, so... Somebody like me can walk into the, you know, the tobacconist and be like, hey, Tom, do you have the West Tampa Tobacco Red? You know? Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Here you go. You know?
Nice.
And, of course, it's touted as their full body cigar, which really complements the line. Because the black is a Maduro, and it's not really strong. It's like, you know, like a real Maduro, the way that it's aged is sweet and savory. And then, of course, the white is a light cigar. Most of the folks I've, and I agree with them, but most of the folks I've talked to that smoke the red, they're like, you know, it's not super awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Tom Cannon says, standardizing the names and definitions of sizes is needed. Yes, indeed. Agree. Cigar taxonomy. It kind of sucks. I get the branding. I understand. Like, I went to business school. Yeah. I know, you know, but it's like, why would you do that, dude? You know, it's like these car companies, they're like, it's not a sport utility vehicle. It's a sport action vehicle.
Stop it.
Yeah, it's the same fucking thing, guys. You know? And then, of course, you have Cuba, and they're like, no, this is a number two. You can't.
You're right.
Although that's really, that's a holdover. Like, nowadays, that's not true.
Yeah.
They did have this whole thing where it was like, number two, number four, you know, and it was specified. And we liked that because of the consistency, you know. So while we're on the subject, favorite Cuban?
Favorite Cuban? Monte Cristo, because I've smoked three actual Cubans that were Monte Cristos, so that's what I remember.
Pretty good.
Yeah, they were really good. Different from our Monte Cristos.
Yes.
So
another issue that we need to settle. Is
the which is actually being settled at the moment, and we don't know how it's going.
It's being settled.
Yeah, like even it's
been 20 years.
Even though even those lawyers are like, we don't know what's going on.
Yeah, they're like, so because we talked to one, and he's like, I can't talk about it.
Yeah, I talked. Yeah, he was like, I can, but I can't. Well, I mean, he told me stuff, but I can't tell you on air.
Yeah.
So I don't think we want to be sued into oblivion. So
yeah, we'll just skip that. But I think for me, it's the Partagas Serie D number 4. To me, that is the best Cuban I've smoked. I will tell you, you know, and if you talk to cigar people, Cuban cigars have a problem, which is a lot of talent has left and they overfarmed.
Yeah. The
tobacco's not as good as it was.
They don't have the cultivation. That's the problem.
Yeah, they overfarmed.
And they're controlled by one.
Didn't let the land rest.
And they're controlled by the government.
Demand far exceeds supply. And they're trying to meet more demand and make more money instead of, no, it's time to plant beans this year, you know? So the truth is, the value is not there. I mean, finding a sub-$100 Cuban in the United States is challenging, and they're just not worth it. You know, I found a few, especially smaller Vitolas in like the 50 to 60 range, and it's like, dude, I mean, you know, Hemingway is $16 in that humidor right there, and it's better, at least just as good. So I just can't justify it. So
yeah.
I used to, this was probably 15 years ago, and then up until about 10 years ago, I was like getting all the Cubans I could find. I had a Cuban that worked for me, and she would bring me back like a box of Cohibas or something. Nice. And I had to pay for them, but they were affordable. Yeah. It was like $200 a box or something, you know. And the quality just kept getting worse and worse, you know, because I smoked my first Cuban, it was like 2004, and it was pretty fucking good.
Yeah, my first Cuban was 2010. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't remember the brand, unfortunately. I'm so annoyed. So, but it was like five, it was a five pack. Shout out to my mom's cousin who sent me the box. So that's cool shit.
Do you have a most overrated Cuban?
Most overrated Cuban. I actually don't, because I just don't have experience with them.
Okay, that's fair.
Probably Cohiba, maybe.
Well, like the actual for sure. Like, for sure.
For branding, but other than that, I don't know.
So, I'm going to go with the Cohiba Bahique.
Bahique?
Yeah, okay. Like, I've smoked it, and it's a good cigar. It is. But they're selling for just about $300 now.
Oh, yeah.
No. It's just not worth it. Like, it's not that good.
I get it, though. You know?
Yeah, like, to me, it's a value proposition, and the value's kind of not there.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's the thing. You know, we're not snobs on Burnline Podcast, but we are passionados, if I can say that.
Sommelier.
Yeah. And, you know, like, our shtick, what we do is we are honest and open with the consumer so that you guys can make better decisions, not waste your money. You know, like, if you're thinking about trying a cigar, watch our episode first. You know, see what we think. And so, you know, I've got to be honest. Like, the value is not there in the Bahique. Now, if you have an opportunity to smoke one, are you going to take it? Probably.
Well, yeah.
But, you know, it's just because it's in America, like, it's rare. And it's like, oh, I got to get. Also, Watch out for the knockoffs.
Yeah, by the way, pro tip for those of you that like the tourist, Don't buy Cubans at Niagara Falls. They're all bullshit.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Or Jamaica.
Or Jamaica. Know, yeah. Don't fucking
that
buy
that guy on the beach with the backpack.
Yeah.
Like, he does not have real Cubans.
Because all the Cubans you can get at Niagara Falls. I was there. I was like, yeah, I'm not buying any of these. They're all at, like, corner marts and...
Right. Well, yeah. And, you know, and also remember, like, the prices are set by Habanos S.A.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you are getting a deal on a Cuban, it's not Cuban.
Yeah.
Nobody's losing fucking money on these cigars.
So good. My friend, $60 for you. No, shut the fuck up. Yeah, Get out of here.
Yeah, I was in Nassau. This was like, that was our 10th anniversary. So, 2018.
Okay.
I think. There's like this guy in this little corner shop, and he's got this like glass top case with some cigars in there, and they're all supposedly Cuban or whatever. And I'm like, okay, so first of all, the, you know, like the band,
mm-hmm.
right? Like the dots don't line up.
Yeah.
Second of all, it's in cellophane. There's not a single fucking Cuban on the market in cellophane. Yeah. They don't cello their cigars, which, you know, is a fail, because if you get tobacco beetles, you're fucked. They'll eat right through cigar. You
know? I don't even know if you're smoking tobacco.
Yeah. Like, what is that? Like, wow, I feel really good after smoking this Bahamian special. Or you feel
really
special.
Shitty. Yeah.
Yeah. Smells like a skunk. Wow, I didn't know cigars smelled like this.
By the way, this Rare Pink's really good. I'm enjoying the shit out of this.
Say it louder for the camera.
I am enjoying this Rare Pink. So,
what do you know? Fuente makes a good cigar.
Yeah. This is my first Rare Pink, just to note. So
sweet.
And this is not a paid advertisement.
No, it is not. We are not sponsored by
Fuente. Paid, not they paid.
Oh, yes. We pay them. However, we do partner with 2C Premium Coffee. I see they joined. Welcome to the show.
By the way, they're having some awesome stuff on their Facebook, like regarding the holidays and stuff.
Yes.
So check out Teresa. Yes. She's out there wheeling and dealing. So
absolutely. This is local family owned.
Yeah.
So, you know, I have 2 coffee machines at work, 3 at home, an espresso, a Nespresso, Perk Drip, Keurig, French Press. And I'm a fucking coffee snob, and everybody knows it.
Mm-hmm.
And I drink 2C Premium Coffee.
Yeah.
Because it's legit, right? So we don't partner with, you know, companies just because.
Starbucks.
Yeah, no. Right. Although, their espresso's not hateful. Their regular coffee is hateful.
It's very hateful. It's very bad.
Dude, it's over-roasted.
Yeah.
Stop doing it, Starbucks. So, funny story. When I was running a foreign trade zone in South Carolina, it was a big building with a demising wall that we were leasing.
Yeah.
Next to us was the import for Starbucks coffee beans. That was next door. And I had to go next door because we had an HVAC problem.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the units are shared and they're up on the roof. And the access was on the other side of the demising wall.
Yeah.
So I went over there and they get these bags of beans in on these ocean cans. And they literally have these tables, not much bigger than this. They dump the burlap sack out. And if they see mold on any beans, they just scrape them over here. And the rest they scrape over here. It's like, I know you're missing some of that fucking mold. And then they have this rule. If the burlap bags sit in that, because they're going to roasting.
Yeah.
Right? They're raw. They're green. By the way, green coffee smells terrible. But they have this rule. If the burlap sack sits there for more than 3 years, they sell it to Folgers. So that's what's going on with the...
So more of the story is stop buying coffee from the big giants and like go to your local roaster.
Mm-hmm. And of course, I still think Six Bean Baller is my go-to.
Yeah.
And of course, with my espresso machine, I'm doing the African espresso shot.
By the way, this Mexican is fire.
And Mexican is the current, that's the current one on the podcast.
Yeah.
Like we've been drinking through the Mexican. Love it. Oh, it was what was the cigar that we smoked where it just fucking went?
Oh, so made it pop. It was a San Andreas wrapper.
It was a San Andreas wrapper, yeah. And so Mexican tobacco, Mexican coffee.
I don't remember. Was it?
Was it the Maestranza?
No. Was it Thunder Smoke?
No.
Because didn't that have some San Andreas in it?
I don't remember.
Oh my god! It was something.
It does complement that earthy tone in your Mexican San Andreas wrapper.
Mm-hmm.
And we are drinking the Weller Antique 107.
Whoop.
By the way, this is not easy to find in this neck of the woods. I got friends in low places, though. So,
all right, George,
we got
Strait.
It taken care of. What? Was that's it not George Strait? Well, no, that's, fuck.
Brooks and Dunn?
No, and the Thunder Rolls. Who is that?
I'm not a country person.
I'm not either. That's why I can't remember.
I don't know. Oh, my God. We're going to catch hate for this.
Yeah, we're totally going to. shit. Garth Brooks.
Garth Brooks?
Garth Brooks, yeah.
Garth Brooks.
Well, I got friends in low places where the whiskey drowns and the bear chases.
All right, you can't go too far with it. We'll get copyright ding.
I don't think I sing good enough for that. The algorithm's going to be like, oh, my God.
I think it's four seconds.
We're going to get flagged for, like, torturing somebody, not for singing a song.
Crimes Against Humanity.
Yeah. All right, so we are smoking the Ashton Virgin Sun Grown, and you have got the Arturo Fuente Rare Pink. We just did the unboxing of the Arturo Fuente Dreams to Dynasty, my Christmas present to myself. I never disappoint myself.
It was great.
It was great. It was perfect. People were saying. I didn't say it, but people said it was the greatest.
that was really good. Dude, it's like, I'm glad he's back just because the memes are coming.
The memes are ridiculous.
Dude, when George Bush went to his inauguration, it was like when he was struggling to put on that rain poncho. Dude, George Bush is also, he would have been a great meme president.
Were memes a thing back then?
No, remember, he ended in 2008. Like, everything was just taking, social media was just taking off.
Yeah, didn't the iPhone come out in 07?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, MySpace is starting, MySpace was dying, Facebook was coming.
Yeah, such a waste, man. Yes. Like, oh my God,
dude,
I wish Instagram
George
was
Bush,
a thing back
then. Yeah, George Bush would have been a memeable.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Bill Clinton is still memed.
Yeah.
20 years later.
But it's like, everybody forgets George Bush was a thing, even though, like, his...
Well, it was not the most memorable presidency.
I mean, that depends. Yeah.
I mean, unless you're in the armed forces, then you might remember it. All right. So we're going to drop off of live because we're going to transition to Christmas for everybody out here in YouTube land. So let me go ahead and, oh, shit. I don't know how to turn this off.
See you guys.
Yep. All right. Bye, guys. Love you. Have a great Merry Christmas. And it is Christmas, and because of that, on Burnline Podcast, we are going to celebrate a Thacker family tradition of reading the Christmas story.
All right. Now we're sharing that with you.
We should all have rituals around the holiday. And this is from the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus, that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. Merry Christmas from Burnline Podcast.
Amen.
God bless ye, merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay.